I'm going to speak this morning about something that a lot of people ask me about, especially when they're starting to get into this teaching and they're trying to figure out how their normal way of thinking fits with the spiritual stuff and how it fits with their physical life. And I want to talk about our sixth sense, what we call intuition. Only I'm going to talk about intuition not as a psychic phenomena, but as something that is both powerful and useful for our personal growth as we learn the connection between the mental and the spiritual, the invisible and the visible, and we start going back and forth in our life. And we want to bring these spiritual principles more deeply into our experience because we are spiritual beings functioning in a physical world. So intuition is not just a part of our thought processes, it's actually a part of who and what we are. It's a tool that does things that nothing else can do. Not only that, learning to understand what intuition really is and learning to use what it does for us can also make our life a whole lot easier because more often than not, our intuition will tell us exactly what we need to be doing in life long before our logic and our intellect figure out all of the details. So that means we can actually start growing, we can actually start moving towards the place in life where we want to be before we even know all the when, the where, the why, the what, the how, all the details that we get so bogged down in. And that can save us, obviously, a lot of time and energy. So let me talk first about where intuition comes from, because that's very important in understanding how to use it. One of the most basic spiritual principles that we talk about here all the time is our belief that we are surrounded by, filled with, and made of a divine presence, the one creative power that creates all things, sustains all things, and we call it God, or we have an assortment of other names, but that's what we talk about here. And what we recognize is this power is not something out there. It's everywhere and it's everything, and that's an idea called omnipresence, which means wherever we are, God is. Now, sometimes we call this power the one mind, or we call it the universal intelligence, which, all we need to know is, means that it is very, very smart. Okay, that's all we have to know about it in terms of this, all right? But when I say smart, this power that we call God is not just some cold analytical computer that has all the answers and churns them out, because if we thought of it that way, it would make it a lot harder for us to visualize a personal connection with it. And we need to have that personal connection with spirit if we want to use it to create a life that we enjoy and to have it present in our life and everything we do. So instead, we should just think of this power as simply the highest possible level of truth and beauty and wisdom, which is a deeper form of intelligence, that's the best part of everyone and everything that exists. So this power supports us completely with its intelligence. That's what we mean by a loving God. It knows everything that we need to know whenever we need to know it, and it's ready to provide that information. And it's also always ready to provide us with whatever guidance we need as we move through this experience that we call life. And when I say that this power provides us guidance, I do not mean that it tells us what it wants us to do. That's not what it does. I mean that it helps guide us towards the things that we tell it that we want. You get the difference? That's a major difference between this teaching and the traditional religions. Now, contrary to what a lot of people think or what many of us were taught, there is nothing complicated or mysterious about the way that this intelligence works. It's perfectly natural. It's been a part of us since before we were born, and it will be a part of us after we go to wherever it is that we go next. The only reason that it seems hard for us to understand or to trust or to listen to is because we have forgotten how to listen to it. We've forgotten. Of course, it doesn't exactly speak to us in words. We know that. It doesn't speak in one particular language, but it does communicate with us in perfectly recognizable ways through our inner wisdom. So our job is to learn, or to be more accurate, to remember, because when we were born, we knew this, to remember how to become aware when spirit is telling us something that we need to know. Because unfortunately for many of us, our intuitive awareness has been conditioned out of us. For a lot of us, especially here in the Western world and the form of education that we have, from the moment that we begin to interact with the world and with the people in it, we were taught to ignore what should have been one of our most valuable assets. Instead of listening in here when we need to find an answer, we have learned to accept or been taught to accept what the world tells us is true. We've adopted the world's way of rational thinking. We've learned to place our focus on what the world tells us is important. Now, even though we often talk about it, about gut feel and intuition and women's intuition and all these other terms, intuition is actually not very high on the world's list of valuable skills. And if you don't believe me, look at a resume. When you look at a resume, you see knowledge, you see education, you see experience. All of these things, they want great detail, but intuitive abilities are not even mentioned. In fact, unless you're applying for a job as an astrologer or a psychic investigator, you know, if you put "I'm extremely intuitive" on your job application, they're not going to hire you because they're going to think you're a little bit strange, all right? Now, the reason this is so unfortunate is because this inner guidance system is something that we were all born with. We had it before we could talk or communicate, and if we had been taught from an early age how to listen to it and how to trust it and how to use it, we'd all be very good at it by now. That's what we're working on teaching our children up in the youth program. Now, we all know people who have been raised that way, usually by artistic parents, by right brain parents who teach the children to use their right brain and to listen. And these people really are different. But in my case, I remember when I was growing up, my intuition was the last thing my parents wanted to hear about. You know, Mom, that doesn't feel right for me this evening. You know, that never worked in my house. Never worked. Okay, you know, 12 o'clock curfew, somehow that doesn't feel right, you know. So I was not brought up, as many of you were also not brought up, to trust our deeper feelings or to listen to the voice within. In fact, what they told me at one point and what they told me in Catholic school was that voice was probably the devil, okay, trying to get me into trouble. And I needed to tell the priest at confession so even he could help me get rid of it, all right? So that's where they went. So I was raised, as many of you were, on a steady diet of following the rules, not asking questions, respecting external authority, and depending upon rational, logical thinking. That's why, as an adult, it has taken me a substantial amount of time, effort, and attention to reconnect with my natural intuitive ability. Now, the good news is the effort that I put into it has been worth it. In fact, the more I use my intuition, the better I get, and the more I trust what comes through. I also recognize that it's making a significant difference in the way I see myself, the way I see the world, and the way I interact in the world. Now, in our textbook, what we call our textbook, The Science of Mind, Dr. Ernest Holmes defines intuition this way. And I'll give you a couple definitions today for two different reasons. He defines intuition as the inner awareness of spiritual truths without conscious process of thought. The inner awareness of spiritual truths, not physical truths or facts, the inner awareness of spiritual truths without conscious process of thought. So he didn't say without thought, just without conscious process. So he says that intuition is the highest faculty that we have because it is actually God being aware of itself. In other words, it's the wisdom, the spiritual awareness that's a fundamental part of us as spiritual beings, whether we've been paying attention to it or not. It's that inner wisdom recognizing itself as the same intelligence, the same awareness that exists everywhere else in the world. It's not a similar intelligence or even an identical intelligence. It's the same intelligence. It's all one. That's why there comes a time for all of us in our life when we realize that the desire that we are feeling for answers, this drive we have to know where our life needs to be going or what we want to be when we grow up, there is something in us that causes us to ask so many questions, but it's not coming to us. It's actually coming through us. That is our intuition. So if we intend to transform ourselves as we are in the process of transforming our life, which is why you're in a place like this, we have to learn how to access this inner wisdom on a regular basis as easily as we access our vocabulary or grammar when we're speaking. Just that easily. We have to learn how to call this wisdom forth right out where we are and then to understand what it is saying. Because the truth is, there are no authority figures out there that have all the answers for all of us. Nobody out there has figured out the universe or God's secret code. In fact, I don't think God speaks in code. I know there's a book out there about that, but I don't think Spirit speaks in code. I think the message that Spirit gives us is always clear. It's our receiver that's scrambled. That's the problem. It's not the information coming in, it's how we're receiving it. So the guidance that we are seeking in our life, whatever we happen to be seeking it for, whether it's love or money or success or healing or whatever it happens to be, that guidance can only come to us from our inner wisdom. It has to come to us from this inner knowing, from our intuition. Now, 30 or 40 years ago, intuition was a fairly limited topic. It was bundled into the same category as ESP and distance viewing and astral projection and prophecy and channeling and all of those other unusual mental and spiritual or woo-woo experiences, as people call them, that have been the subject of not only extensive scientific research, but also a fair amount of ridicule from a lot of skeptics. And it's especially interesting, at least to me, that all of these different things have actually been found to have a lot more credibility than science previously thought. The reason for this is because they are all based on the same assumption that mind is greater than matter, that the invisible is greater than the visible, and the awareness that all intelligence, whether it's our own individual intelligence, the intelligence in an atom, or the intelligence in the universe farther than we've been able to see, that all of this intelligence is connected through one single unchanging medium or some sort of field that we have yet to understand. In fact, quantum physics is showing us today that there is a single vibration, a single energy common to all substance. That energy is an intelligence, and that energy is affected by the power of our thought. It's affected by the power of our thought. So we're now discovering that the most basic laws of nature are virtually identical in many ways to what all the great spiritual teachers have told us about the great spiritual laws of the universe. The physical and the spiritual are one. Imagine that. Now, in the overall discussion about psychic abilities, having intuition has always been a little more acceptable to most people than the ability to bend a spoon with your mind or, you know, speak with the dead and those kind of things. I mean, for one thing, everyone experiences a little bit of intuition. I mean, we've all been thinking about someone all of a sudden, and then your cell phone rings, and look who's there. We've all had that kind of experience happen. We've all had a gut feeling or a hunch about whether we should or shouldn't do something that turned out to be right. But it's usually kind of a hit or miss thing. When it happens and it works, we're impressed. When it doesn't, we don't worry about it. That's why we're perfectly willing to use our intuition to buy a lottery ticket, or to figure out the best way to drive to work in the morning, but we don't really feel confident enough to base the really important decisions in our life on something that we don't understand. So when we come up against one of those major decision points in our life, and we all know what they are, we usually do one of two things. We either go searching for a logical, rational explanation that agrees with our intuition, that's one thing we do, or else we just stay stuck, unable to accept our old situation, but too afraid to move forward simply on the basis of a feeling that we can't explain. But when we do this, there's something we need to consider. If we read about those people all the way back in history who are very well known in their particular field, whether it's philosophy, science, medicine, whatever it is, who have made great discoveries or made world-altering decisions, we find that almost all of them, if you read their biographies, did not make those decisions in a traditional way. Instead, they used a part of their mind that was much more circular than linear. Instead of going from point to point to fact to point to fact to point, they used what Dr. Eric Butterworth, the Unity minister, calls concentric thinking, where you start with a center and then everything's around it and everything's around it and everything's around it. That's the kind of thinking they used. And in almost every case, when they were asked or interviewed later about their thought process and coming up with such radical solutions to problems that no one thought could be solved, many of them were completely unable to explain how they came up with the perfect answer at the right moment. In some cases, they had even given up on the possibility of solving the problem, and the day after they gave up, they woke up in the morning, and eureka, the answer was there. It just showed up. It's like the author Gerald Jampolsky, an excellent New Thought author, a lot of books. He said, one of his quotes is, "Nothing is impossible when we follow our inner guidance." That's good. "Even when its direction may threaten us by reversing our usual logic." So we have to be open to having our usual logic reversed. So another way that we can define intuition is the ability to know something without knowing how or why we know it. Without knowing how or why we know it. But, and here's the important part, it's also the ability to reach conclusions without having sufficient facts or information to use what the world would call a normal, rational, and logical thought process. Not only that, whenever we have this flash of brilliance or this quiet voice that speaks to us, apparently out of nowhere, when it is right, we also feel calm. We don't feel afraid. We feel perfectly calm knowing that the right answer has come to us, and frequently that's what it turns out to be. So intuition works. Most of us here accept that. But the question that many of us really want answered is this. When we come face to face with an important decision, how do we know if the answer that pops into our head is intuition and not something else? How do we know? Because we all have lots of different things jumping in and out of our mind on a regular basis, and not all of it is nearly as brilliant as we would like people to think we think it is, okay? Some of the things that jump in and out of our mind when we're making a decision are based on ego. Some of it's based on fear or habit. And then there's a tendency we have to make lists so that everything fits with everything else and to remember our past experiences and repeating those or to try and control what's going to happen in the future. So how, when we're struggling with an important personal decision in our life, can we know that we are really tapping into the one mind, the universal intelligence, so that we know we're coming up with the right best decision? How do we know what to listen to and how do we know what to ignore? Well, one thing to remember is that when we follow our intuition, we are not trying to tap into some supernatural, magical power that's going to give us a special answer. It should actually be the most natural thing in the world. The only reason that our intuition seems so mysterious is because we have been trained to ignore it. We've been trained not to let our mind and our heart do what they do so well. So instead of learning to use our intuition in the way we learn to do everything else, like driving a car or using a computer, maybe what we need to do is to unlearn some habits that are keeping us from being able to tune in to what we need to hear and to feel, because intuition is more a feeling than a noise. Maybe what we need to do is to let go of our attachment to the idea that knowledge and rational thinking and facts are the only reliable way to the truth. You know, our intuition may not be right all the time, but neither is our logical mind. I've made a lot of very intelligent, logical, rational mistakes in my life, and so have you, all right? Because we have been trained to automatically ignore our intuitive feelings or even to deny that they have any value in reaching intelligent or useful decisions. Maybe we need to retrain ourselves to recognize and pay attention to what it feels like when our higher self is trying to tell us something important. Now, in taking this approach, the first thing that we need to do in order to expand ourselves spiritually, because intuition is a spiritual concept, the first thing we need to do is to shut up and listen, all right? Shut up and listen. Because most of the time, we are so busy asking for the answer, that we couldn't hear it if somebody came up and screamed it in our ear. That's what we're doing. Sure, we need to ask our question. Sure, we need to put it out there. But then, once we've asked it, and once we're ready and waiting for an answer to appear, we need to relax and to get quiet and not let the answer show up in front of us, but to let the answer unfold. To let the answer unfold. The truth is, no question ever goes unheard or unanswered. But we have to learn how to ask, and we have to learn how to receive. We have to understand that sometimes we may not be ready for the answer we need at the time that we ask the question. So when we ask it and we sit there waiting, give me the answer, give me the answer may be, you're not ready for the answer yet. That's why we have to let it unfold. The next thing we need to do is to be open to the unexpected. My teacher, Dr. Kennedy Schultz, for those of you who didn't know him, on this platform for 20 years, he used to say that when it comes to using the creative process in our life, we are not on the Ways and Means Committee. That was what he used to say. Some of you remember that. And what he meant was, when he said this, is that we are dealing with an infinite intelligence here, so maybe we ought to give it a little latitude to come up with a different kind of an answer than the one we've been coming up with all our logic and rational thinking. That means that the answer that we are actually looking for may not show up in the way that we thought it would. It may not come directly from God in a FedEx envelope with clear instructions, okay? Sometimes the answer that we need can come to us in a random thought during meditation. Sometimes it comes in a completely unrelated, non-spiritual conversation. Sometimes it shows up in a dream. Sometimes it shows up on a billboard that we see, or maybe a book that we pick up. We can open ourselves to that. If you go to the self-help section or any section of Barnes & Noble or Borders, for example, close your eyes and pick up a book and open it to a page and read it, it's amazing what you will find on that page, no matter what that page happens to be. The answer is not in the book. The answer's not in the billboard or in the words we hear in the conversation. The answer comes from the way our mind responds when we are ready to hear, when we're open. You see, if we allow our subconscious mind, which is what we're talking about, because the subconscious is the level where the divine intelligence functions most creatively, if we allow our subconscious mind to play, not to work, to play with all the ideas that come through it without our interference, then it can do what it does very well, which is to act creatively and intelligently on our deepest, deepest desires. You see, our subconscious does not solve problems. What it does is it sees the truth. That's what it does. We have to remember that our subconscious mind is always slightly ahead of our conscious mind. So if we can just ask our question and accept a little bit of ambiguity, a little bit of uncertainty, maybe even a little bit of temporary instability in our current situation, then our subconscious will almost always lead us, if not give us the answer, it will lead us in the right direction, even if we don't understand where we're going or what's going on at the time. And our conscious mind will eventually catch up. That's why trying to follow our intuition is not a technique that we master. It's more of a process that we continually practice and refine. That's why once we quiet our mind and we ask our question and we wait patiently for an answer, we need to carefully observe what shows up, not in that moment, but over time, going forward. Because if we're really listening to the wisdom of our greater self, then we will start to notice a significant improvement in every area of our life over time. Over time. It's cumulative. But if our answer is coming from fear, or if we're trying to control things, or it's coming from doubt or ego, we're going to end up with a very mixed bag, a very mixed result in our life. A little fun, a little chaos, dash of confusion, all that stuff across the whole spectrum in every part of our life. So if we're having a little trouble becoming intuitive, maybe we need to start with some of the simple things first. Get back to basics. What restaurant to go to for lunch or dinner? What movie we should go see? Whether to buy a certain book? Stop reading for all the recommendations in the New York Times or asking everybody what they like. Start listening to your intuition and see where it takes you. okay, instead of going on logic or other people's recommendations. We try it and see how things work out. Now, if we don't like the results that we get, then we may need more practice. But if we start doing this on a regular basis and we start to feel more alive, we start to feel more connected, if things start to flow more easily in every single area of our life, that's when we know that we are on the right track. And then we can move on to something bigger, because there's always going to be something bigger in our life. Now, this works great for everything. It works great if we're having a conflict with someone, if we're facing a job change or a relationship change, whatever it is. In all these cases, we first need to be still and listen, and then we need to express very clearly to our consciousness, not to God out there, but to our consciousness, that we are ready and open to guidance and wisdom for the next best step. Not necessarily the answer, but for the next best step. And then we need to actually be open to any answers that appear over time. And when we do eventually take action and do what we will eventually need to do, we need to carefully observe the results and see if those results create peace or conflict, to see if they create harmony or chaos in our life. You know, listening to our intuition doesn't mean hearing the voice of God telling us, you know, pick the blue one, that kind of stuff. It's not that specific. Just like exercising our body makes us stronger, exercising our intuition makes us more aware. But we also have to understand the answer may not come immediately, all right? It's just pointing us in a direction. Florence Shin, marvelous author many years ago, one of the first New Thought authors, she wrote the book The Game of Life and How to Play It. If you've got it on a back shelf, go back and read it. It's a classic. She said, intuition is a spiritual faculty and does not explain, but simply points the way. It doesn't explain. It doesn't tell us. It points the way. You see, frequently our intuition speaks in symbols that we have to learn to read. And it's not hard, but it does take practice and it does take patience. Learning to tune in to the wisdom of the universe, this universal intelligence that permeates everything as it flows through us into the world, is a lifelong process. And it's one of the most important lessons we're here to learn. We also need to accept that when we get good, even when we do get good at listening to our intuition, to that still small voice, we may still have days where we can't hear anything, where we feel like we're alone, where nothing seems to be working and we have no guidance at all. Even then, we need to know that it's still working. We may lose faith in it for a little while. We may read it wrong. We may even get impatient and try to go too far, too fast, even without the information. But once we get over that, once we get over our little hissy fits about why isn't God talking to me, this kind of stuff that we do, then we can be sure that all we need to do is to quiet our mind and wait for the answer we need, knowing that whenever we're ready for it, all the information we need is going to be there. And once we reach that level of faith and trust, we're going to be amazed at how easily things flow in our finances, in our relationships, in our body awareness, in our job, in every single part of our life. But we shouldn't be surprised when it happens, because that's the way it's supposed to work. And when we finally figure that out, that's when we're going to be back on track. And that's when we're going to be ready to use all of this amazing power that is giving itself and giving itself and giving itself to us unconditionally, that allows us to enjoy the gift of life that we receive day after day after day. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Okay, let's take a few moments here and let's recognize that all the intelligence of life, of God, of Spirit, of the universe, is always available to us at all times. Even when we feel lost, there is a way to find direction. Even when we feel confused, there is a way to find clarity. Even when we feel alone, there is a way for us to create a connection. Because we are one with the only power there is. We are the perfect intelligence of Spirit, constantly creating in the world. And as we begin to live our life that way, we begin to live in deep harmony with this intelligence that creates without effort, that creates in vast abundance, that creates in harmony and in balance. And we begin to create in our life that way, not because we know all the answers or we have all the information or the experience, but because we trust the guidance that we always have. This is our truth. Deep in our heart, deep in our soul, whenever we are facing anything, any challenge, with every person we're with, and this same intelligence is in every person. So as the wisdom in us, the inner wisdom, begins to recognize itself in others as we say namaste, as we greet others, as we interact with others, we begin to create a world that is more in harmony and more in balance, not with just us and our friends, but with every person everywhere. So I'd like to invite you to take a few moments in the silence of your own heart and mind. And in this silence, take one decision in your life right now that you think you need to make. Look at one thing in your life where you recognize that it's not quite the way you want it, and simply set it in the middle of your consciousness. Look at it and smile and know that whatever you need to know about this thing, that answer is there for you and you are open and receptive to receiving it. Take these few moments for yourself. With gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life, we accept this truth, this awareness, this inner truth that we have seen as our own. We honor it. And as we recognize this and we open ourselves to living our life in a greater and greater way and a greater connection with Spirit, we accept this truth, we accept all that we have been given, and we are honored by all we are able to give. Knowing this, we release this awareness into consciousness, allowing it to be our perfect truth now and always for us and for every other person from this moment on. And so it is.